If you can spare a couple of hours a week for the next year, you can make a big difference working one-on-one with an adult learner. ActionRead has a terrific suite of tools and resources and a wealth of experience to help new tutors develop their skills teaching math, reading, writing, and computer basics. For more information or to volunteer, call 519-836-2759. That's 519-836-2759, or visit us online at actionread.com.
The 30th anniversary of the Guelph Organic Conference is being held from January 27th until January 30th. The theme of this year's conference is Generation Organic. The conference will take a look back at the last 30 years in the organic sector, and will look at what will shape the sector in the coming decades. Local organics in Ontario will be in the spotlight, and there will be a wide range of workshops on everything from climate change to backyard composting. The Organic Expo and Tasting Fair will take place in the University of Guelph's University Center, and will be free and open to the public from 9 to 5:30 on Saturday and 10 to 4 on Sunday. The conference is looking for volunteers, particularly those with experience in audio-video equipment. If you're interested in volunteering, please email volunteergoc@bell.net. For more information on the workshops, panels, and exhibitors, along with full conference schedule, please visit guelphorganicconf.ca. That's GUELPHORGANICCONF.ca. Register for workshops online or in person.
Welcome to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and on the web at www.cfru.ca. Do people say the World Wide Web anymore? Is that the same as the internet? I don't even know. I think I'm going to have to do some research. Anyway, my name is Sarah Mangle, and I'm the host of These Things That People Make. And These Things That People Make is the show about anything that people make that is not considered fine art and the politics and stories behind those things. And today I'm really excited. I interviewed Rafaela Vidinha, who makes puppets and has been making puppets for 2 years. And she's really cool. And I got to meet up with her in her house studio in the east end of Toronto last night. Her house, she lives with a bunch of people in the back of a factory. She also lives in a building where there's somebody who makes, I think they're called like submarine bicycles, and I need to track down that guy so I can interview him. Submarine car bicycles. Rafaela is really awesome, and we hung out with three puppets that she made in the studio part of her loft studio house, and we're just going to start with the interview right off the bat. So this is me and Rafaela hanging out with her puppets.
Okay, so I make puppets, and I make specifically monster puppets.
Why?
Principally, I guess one of the main... it all started with an interest in animation. Mm. I was riding my bike one day, and I thought, I just see the potential of life in, everything, you know? It's like you can turn any inanimate object into something animate, and it becomes, everything has, a story, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I thought puppet making would be, a good extension of that and would be, a fun way of playing with inanimate objects and, infusing life into things. Mm. And so I started getting into animation, stop motion, doing, clay little figurines and moving them. And I made a connection with this other animator. I was just kind of knocking at his door and asking him for advice and stuff like that. And he eventually hired me to be his assistant puppeteer in this company called Banjo Puppets. And I was like, wow, this is incredible. I've never in my life considered that I would be constructing professional monster, fun fur, Muppet style kind of puppets, you know? So he hires me and I'm completely overwhelmed by all the fur and the foam in the room, and there are scissors and there are these, it's just a sea of color, you know, red and green. It's puppets are really lively. I know there are a lot of dark puppets that you can make, but typically I try to make really colorful and eye-catching stuff. Mm. This Joel Brubaker from Banjo Puppets, he just took me under his wing and he saw kind of the excitement that I had about making things come to life, and he kind of showed me the ropes about how to make, how to construct puppets.
You are listening to an interview with Rafaela Vidinha, and in the background right now, there's Heavens to Betsy from their 7-inch These Monsters Are Real. We're going to go back to the interview now.
Well, I mean, there are different kinds of puppets. There are marionettes that, you know, hang from strings, and there are rod puppets and shadow puppets, and... anything. You can make a puppet out of anything. But he specifically taught me how to make monster puppets from using fun fur and foam that you can find at carpet stores. Mm. You can just buy sheets and sheets of foam.
What does it look like? What kind of foam?
Foam is the squishy stuff that if you rip your carpet, if you have carpet at home and you kind of rip the carpet out, you'll see a layer of squishy kind of foam. Mm-hmm. And it comes in sheets, and they're anything from 1 inch thick to, 2-4 inches. And the foam is kind of the skeleton.
Okay.
And you can shape foam with scissors, or you can fold them into different shapes, and then that makes the skeleton of the puppet head. And then you just, glue some fun fur on there or so... felt.
So you were working with him, and then when did you start making your own puppets?
So he takes me under his wing, and he's kind of, I'm just exposed to puppet patterns and just how to, put the basic mouth shape together and things like that. So one winter I decided I wanted to kind of start designing my own puppets, and I made my first puppet, which is a 1930s cartoon style Sasquatch. You know, if you watch old cartoons, They're really, you know, kind of rudimentary big eyes and black and white and kind of have these big lips and things like that. So I made a little Sasquatch, like a black and white Sasquatch puppet.
And his hair is really like...
It's really spiky. Wiry.
Yeah,
and,
wiry. Yeah.
And like just deep black fur with leather black lips and
his teeth.
Yellow teeth that kind of move into his mouth when he opens it up and down. And I really like mythological animals, and to kind of materialize an animal that usually exists in our imaginaries was really exciting for me.
How did you feel like imagining something and then trying to make it, and then...
Well, I feel like everywhere there are these creatures that we imagine, you know, like the mermaid or the centaur, you know, half man, half horse, or the chupacabra, which is like the goat sucker, you know, it's like a kind of Latin American creature. I just feel like to materialize these animals really, really interests me, because they do exist in our minds, and to be able to kind of play with that is...
Yeah.
Something I like to do. It's really magical. And then fairy tales, too. I like to make... I'm working on this one little puppet. It's a Humpty Dumpty character. And I want to eventually make a little video with him. So, like, fairy tales and mythological creatures is kind of where I'm going.
What do you want to have happen to him in the video?
Well, Humpty is probably going to be smoking a cigarette, sitting on a brick wall, and he's going to be talking about how much, you know, he hates his life, and he's so fragile, and then of course he's got to fall, you know, he's got the sour, you know, sour luck, and he'll just crack into a frying pan and probably start to sizzle. So
he's wearing a really cute outfit. He's about the size of, like, the length of your hand, and he's made of foam, and he has these amazing googly eyes and a really nice nose, long nose, and he's wearing this shiny blue jacket and a white shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And a little bow tie.
And if he were to talk, he'd probably have a really, you know, like, husky voice. But that's one thing I've never developed, which is... my, like, being a performer, you know? I like to make puppets. I love to make puppets, and I can completely imagine, you know, their personalities and their voices, but for some reason I just can't channel that energy when I put the puppet on my hand.
But that's okay. Like, that can be, you know, that can be somebody else's job.
That's the thing, you know? I'm part of the apparatus of making things come to life, you know? And I think that's enough to make me pretty happy.
What's your word? Your lips are free. I've got some magic that will set you.
connection with the Sasquatch and with this other monster, this, like,
well,
are they part of your films, or are they sort of a separate practice?
I like to make videos with the puppets eventually, because I think it's a way of kind of distributing, like, the ideas and stories that the puppets can share. But right now I'm not really producing any video. I'm just producing a walrus that I'm working on. The walrus that I want to make is a Technicolor walrus, and it's just going to be like a walrus that fell into a pool of LSD and kind of walked out. That's what I'm working on right now. And it, you can see that on my shelf because we're in my studio. Yeah. I have a whole bunch of like fun fur and different yellows and pinks and things like that. And it's going to be kind of like a mascot, Big Bird style.
Like a really
puppet.
Big puppet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it kind of, just to go back, talking about making things come to life. I had this one experience. I was, you know, just a teenager and you know, psychedelic drugs came into vogue. And I remember, you know, that I ate a few mushrooms with a couple of my friends. And I just remember seeing the hills around me kind of breathing like a belly. Like it was the earth became this like organism, and it was just that. That's like part of the story of like my interest in terms of things coming to life and everything having a story and being like an organism that has things to share. Yeah.
Monsters. I imagine monsters have particular locations, you know? So I wonder about like Toronto and what kind of monsters you think in particular live here.
I think maybe in Toronto, there are, you know, hybrid pigeon raccoon monsters living and probably nesting in the gutter. And they're probably, like, plotting to, like, revolutionize the political... I'm just kidding. I'm just rambling. I think of something really gritty, you know, because Toronto has this... the studio is in a factory. Toronto, unlike other cities, has a certain... like urban grit to it, and so I don't see, you know, beautiful mermaid puppets swimming in the waters of Toronto, but maybe like a raccoon pigeon hybrid.
I think that's what's funny about Toronto right now is that like Toronto, the city, the city planners, like wealthy people of Toronto, they want mermaids, like they, you know what I mean? Like they want people to come because of the shiny buildings.
They're like,
and they're like mermaids in the ocean.
They're reconstructing the lake so they could attract mermaids.
Yeah,
I don't think it's gonna happen. Not with, you know.
Well,
Rock
where
Ford.
Are they? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Where else do you take inspiration from?
I have. Particularly interested in this one artist. Her name's Martha Colburn. She's a queer artist living in New York right now. And she is an animator, and she makes paper puppets, and she makes them come to life with stop motion animation. And so Martha Colburn is kind of a big inspiration of mine. She's not necessarily a... She doesn't necessarily make puppets, you know, for television, but I can see through her work a certain puppetry of paper and that same idea. And she has this kind of punk aesthetic that I really like, and she's just such a righteous babe that I can't help but look at all of her work.
Have you met her?
No, I've never met her. I'm kind of working towards that. I'll probably send her... like a video love letter one day.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great idea. You could make something that like relates, like comments on something that she's done, or you know.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's always like a tribute to her. Yeah.
See the girl with blue eyes sing to me. I wait. Up with me, I wake up with me.
see her laughing, crying with or without me. I wake up to see, is this really me? Is this what I've become? Someone so alone.
You are listening to These Things That People Make on CFRU 93.3 FM. In the back, you're hearing Hayden, I Wake Up With Me, from a 7-inch I found in the vinyl library of CFRU. 7-inch called Paleto. And Rafaela Vidina and I last night met up and talked about puppets. And so far in the interview, she's talked about a lot of things that are really awesome. Specifically, going from a practice of animation towards making puppets. The value of considering any inanimate object as being able to have life, making objects come to life, and her work and apprenticeship with banjo puppets. If you want to check out banjo puppets and see what they're all about, you can go to www.banjopuppets.com. So we were hanging out in Rafaela's studio. We're hanging out with a Sasquatch puppet and a puppet called Zero that had like very furry puppet with half closed eyes and a tiny egg puppet. And in the next part of the interview, I asked Rafaela in particular about eyes on puppets.
In particular, I'm thinking about these googly eyes. Like, there's something about the eyes that make them surprised and, like, I don't know. What is it? They're, like, surprised and kind of intense.
Well, the puppets that I seem to make usually have a startled look to them. These two in particular were some of my earlier designs. And it's true, they have just really stark, surprised eyes. And I think it has to do with, I want my puppets to look curious. And you'll be, when you're making a puppet...
Why do you want your puppets to look curious?
Because, I mean, look around us. we're such odd, absurd animals.
Yeah.
You know, you bring these things into being, and I just imagine them being completely, you know, taken aback. But it's funny you mentioned the eyes, because the eyes, when you're making a puppet, you can't just plop the eyes on the face and expect them to come to life. One of the things I learned while making puppets is that where you place the eyes really, really alter the personality of the puppet. How far away the eyes are. If they're a little bit farther away from each other, the puppet kind of looks a little dopey. If the eyes are closer together, they look shrewd. You know, and you kind of have to tilt the eyes inwards, and it's just the study of eye placement is really important for puppetry, because you want them to look straight at you, you know, knowingly, like they're really, really watching you, you know. You don't want one eye looking one way and the other eye the other way, because it's a way that we connect with them, you know, through the eyes.
This orange guy that you have on your arm, he looks...
His name's Zero.
Zero. He looks like...
He's
a little frustrated.
He's... You know, all my... Yeah, they're all startled. They're all frustrated.
He seems more frustrated than the other ones.
You think so? He's from outer space.
Okay.
And I thought he was always a little grumpy, but I didn't think he looked, what was the word you used?
Frustrated.
Frustrated.
You don't think he's frustrated?
No, he's just a little bit of a moody character. But look at how, when I move his eyes a little bit, like, I can make him look a little more sad.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Wow, that's
or
just like
I can make him look a little angry just by tilting the eyes the other way.
Yeah, he looks really pissed off.
Yeah.
So do puppet people like on Sesame Street, for example, do they move their eyes like around, like for different scenes? Do they move?
There are mechanisms inside puppets that can make them blink and things like that. But I don't think they move their eyes. No, I don't think they move their pupils. And that's what's beautiful about puppets, is there's like that moment of, you know, suspension of disbelief, yeah, where you don't need to see them blink. You don't need to see them, you know, kind of drool to know that, or to believe that they're beings, you know. There's, yeah, a certain element where your mind needs to fill in the blanks for, and that's yeah, really nice.
That's a really good point, because they're pretty, like, they're very material, and they're really, like, this, Zero has a serious personality I find really intimidating. I'm like, hi, Zero.
But yeah, a good friend of mine, actually, the other day I was working on this fish that I was trying to sew a mouth into, and the fish was frowning, and I was like, I didn't want the fish to be frowning. Like, this is a happy fish.
Yeah.
I'm going to rip the mouth off. And so I did. Yeah. And my friend, I tell my friend what happened, and she was like, well, fish, their mouths don't really need to move for the fish to talk.
That's true.
And that blew my mind. You know, imagine a little video of a fish on your hand, and you just put a voice, and it's like the fish.
That's it.
You don't need, you know, yeah, the mouth to be moving.
So you've been listening to These Things That People Make. You just heard sped up Bratmobile, and then I turned it back to the right speed, 33, because I'm playing records. I want to say a really huge thank you to Andrew Pham, who is a volunteer at CFRU, who introduced Rafaela and I. And I want to invite everyone to make puppets, or at least make their material world a bit more alive. Somehow this week. Wokavore is up next, and I'll be back next week with an interview with Sarah Marcus, who wrote a book called Girls to the Front: The History of Riot Girl.
You are listening to CFRU, radio worth taking your glasses off for.
CFRU 93.3 FM is turning 31 years old this week, and to celebrate, we're bringing you a couple of shows. On Friday, January 28th, Guelph band The Magic will be playing a free noon-hour concert in the University Center Courtyard. And then, on Saturday, January 29th, Montreal up-and-comers Braids will be performing along with Live Action Fez at Ed Video Media Arts Center. Ed Video is located at 40 Baker Street downtown, and is an accessible space. The show starts at 9 p.m. and cover is $8 to $10. Come out and join us for our birthday. For more info, visit cfru.ca.
The 30th anniversary of the Guelph Organic Conference is being held from January 27th until January 30th. The theme of this year's conference is Generation Organic. The conference will take a look back at the last 30 years in the organic sector, and we'll look at what will shape the sector in the coming decades. Local organics in Ontario will be in the spotlight, and there will be a wide range of workshops on everything from climate change to backyard composting. The Organic Expo and Tasting Fair will take place in the University of Guelph's University Center, and will be free and open to the public from 9 to 5:30 on Saturday and 10 to 4 on Sunday. The conference is looking for volunteers, particularly those with experience in audio-video equipment. If you're interested in volunteering, please email volunteergoc@bell.net. For more information on the workshops, panels, and exhibitors, along with full conference schedule, please visit guelphorganicconf.ca.